Thanks so much for tuning in to Premeditated, a podcast production of the Hammer Law Firm. Each week, we provide listeners with insights into the inner workings of the criminal justice system. On this episode, we're going to be talking about initial appearances and arraignments. Now, during this episode, we will be talking about Missouri state felony cases. There are going to be some references to federal cases, but overall, we will be discussing Missouri state felony cases.
And this topic is of greatest importance to the person who has just recently been arrested. So most of what we're going to be speaking about here is the circumstance where somebody has been on the street and arrested by a police officer, or at their home arrested by a police officer, just circumstances where you've been taken into custody but have not yet been charged. Under Missouri law, you can only be held for 24 hours if the police suspect that you have committed a felony. After that 24-hour period, you either have to be charged by a prosecuting attorney or you have to be let go. If you are charged within that 24-hour period, a judge will sign a complaint and sign a warrant, which will continue to detain you, which will continue to keep you in custody on that warrant.
And after you're arrested on that warrant for the felony charge, you will be brought in front of a judge for an initial appearance. This will happen in the court which issued the warrant. This initial appearance shall be held no later than 48 hours, sometimes 72 hours, excluding obviously weekends and holidays, after the defendant is confined under that warrant in the county that issued the warrant.
And that initial appearance is specifically where you are arraigned. Don't get too confused about this word arraigned. It's kind of a fancy legal term, but all it means is that you are entitled to know what you have been charged with. And at a formal arraignment, you will actually be read those charges by a judge. Now, a couple critical things you have to remember here is that you've got some important rights. The first one is to remain silent. The judge will remind you of that at that formal arraignment, that you have the absolute right to remain silent. And we strongly encourage you that you exercise that right, and please don't say anything at that arraignment. You also have the Sixth Amendment right to have counsel. And if you don't have an attorney already, we're hoping that you get your family on board to get yourself an attorney right away so that we might be able to help you.
Because if you make any statements at that hearing, the prosecutor can use them against you later. So it's very important that you do remain silent. And after your initial arraignment, after you're arrested, you will always enter a plea of not guilty. If a defendant refuses to enter a plea for some reason, the court will actually enter that plea of not guilty on that person's behalf. However, a defendant must be present in person, or these days, most of the time by video, for a plea to be entered.
So we get questioned all the time by prospective clients and new clients, can I be heard on the issue of bond at my arraignment? A family member might call us up and say that their loved one is now in jail, they've just been recently charged with a crime, and they're wondering how quick can we get him out? Can we actually be heard on the issue of bond at that initial appearance? And the short answer to that question is maybe. In circumstances where there are no victims on the case, such as a drug crime or sometimes a theft from a large department store or something along those lines, you can be heard on the issue of bond and the judge might allow it up front. If there are victims under local rules and the state constitution, the state can ask for additional 5 days, up to 5 days, to consult with the victim prior to having the bond hearing. Under the Victims' Rights Act, the victim is entitled to be heard on any important issue in the case, and that would include the issue of bond.
Once bond is set, it's harder to modify that bond later, so it's crucial that you have an experienced litigator representing you at that initial appearance. The second arraignment that happens in the course of criminal cases happens when you're brought in front of a circuit court judge. As you know from previous podcasts, these cases start in associate circuit court, and they get to circuit court by one of two ways, by grand jury or by preliminary hearing. We generally waive the second arraignment in circuit court. This can be expressly waived or actually just waived by proceeding to trial without objection.
The critical thing for you to remember from this podcast, just to summarize, is that the most important arraignment to you is going to be that initial appearance and arraignment shortly after your arrest and after you've been charged. And don't despair if it appears, because it's a victim crime, for example, that you're not able to be heard on the issue of bond or something along those lines. Just be sure to get an attorney on board as quickly as possible. We have connections with prosecuting attorneys' offices. We work with them all the time. If we can encourage them to get a hold of a victim, for example, more swiftly, then we can address your issue of bond more swiftly. The second arraignment, as Matt mentioned to you, would be much longer down the line after you've already been indicted by grand jury or preliminary hearing, as Matt said, and that arraignment is of much less significance than the initial one.
If you're looking for any more information on bond hearings or arraignments, check out our other podcasts or give us a call. Thank you all so much for listening, and tune back soon for more episodes.